I am convinced that there are many, many, many things that you and I as children of God should be fleeing from. I believe and I'm convinced that there are things in this life that you and I as children of God cannot participate in. There are things that you and I as a child of God, as an ambassador for the Lord, a spokesperson for the Lord, each and every one of us are, we have a serious responsibility to represent Christ Jesus in the right way. Many things that you and I should flee from because we are soldiers of God. We are workers. Every one of us are workers in His vineyard. We are the called out of the world. We use that word sanctified quite often because the Scripture does, meaning to be set apart, called out from the world, appointed for Jesus Christ, doing the work that He is calling us to do. I am convinced also, sad as it is, that there's a great number of people in the religious world today, some that tag themselves, listen to that, those that tag themselves as a Christian, claiming that they love the Lord, but at the same time, they have walked away from the Lord. I appreciate Brother Jerry reading that so well up there just a moment ago. I'd like for us to revisit that again in Revelation chapter 2. Go with me, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands." Jesus is simply saying these next few words. Watch this. I know thy what? I know your works. I know what you're involved in. I know what you're going through. I know what you've been through. I know about your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and found them to be nothing more than what? Liars. Verse 3. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, he says right here in verse 4, Jesus says, I have this against you, that you have indeed left your first love. Watch this. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works, or else I will come to you quickly, remove your lampstands from its place, unless you make that turnaround, unless the Bible says you repent. So Christ was able to look, and he did look, and he could see that they were involved in some things, but they were getting wrapped up in their own selves. They was kind of in a situation of self-righteousness, if I may. And Jesus says, I know your works. I know you've got patience, and I know you're going through some things. I know you're persevering. However, you kind of forgot me in the process. You have left your first love. Do you see how churches today can do just that? They get caught up in so many things of routine. They get caught up in what I'm doing, and he's doing, and she's doing, and they're doing, what we should be doing, that many times we can find ourselves away from the Lord, running away from Jesus Christ. We may not even be aware of our own walk in life. I know things get tough. You know things get tough. We know that life can become very difficult. We know that there are challenges out there. Today, we know that there are appointments to keep, schedules to meet, people to see, places that we have to go. But we always want to make sure that in every single walk, in every endeavor that you and I have, that Jesus Christ is our focal point. Does that make sense? Jesus Christ has to be the number one focal point in your life and mine. So I want to share something with you today. I want you and me together, as brothers and sisters in Christ, just to kind of step back a little bit. Sometimes you kind of have to pull yourself out a little bit and get that breather and look and find out where we are in the light of God's Word. Where are we, seriously speaking, in our walk with Jesus Christ? Who is it that is your biggest influence? Is it Christ Jesus? Is it God? Or is it people of the world that's your greatest influence? We've got to make sure that it's not a mama or a daddy or a son or a daughter or a brother or a sister or anybody that's a bigger influence than that of Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's be sure that as we step back and look at our lives, that we're not finding ourselves, and we may not even be aware of it, but we find ourselves not walking away or in some cases running away from the Lord. So let's take a look this morning at just a few things. And I'm going to tell you, we have looked at these couple of these points before. We had it on a Wednesday night series. I want to make sure that we're driving these home. It is elementary, but I want us to visit that. I want us to do this because I want to make sure in my life and make sure in your life that we're not walking away from God and not, may not even be aware of it. because I'm convinced that can happen. So let's make sure that we are not running from the Lord. Say that with me. Let's make sure we are not running from the Lord. The first point I want us to examine this morning is going to be found over in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. It's going to be a long reading, so you can go with me. Genesis chapter 4, 1 through 16. As we talk about individuals in the Bible that has run from the Father, I want us to visit and see how Cain, the brother of Abel, ran from God when he rose up and he killed his own brother. Does that make sense? He was away from God when he killed his own brother. Folks, listen, when you and I, if we ever catch ourselves away from God, when we are at a, and I'll use this word very clearly, when we are at a disconnect, does that sound okay? When we are at a disconnect from God, and don't think that doesn't happen to Christians today. If you think that, you know, you better not think yourself so high lest you fall. Because sometimes people will find themselves at a disconnect with God. Not that God disconnected you, but that you let go of God's nail-scarred hands. Jesus' nail-scarred hands. If people are at a disconnect from God today, that means that you have chosen to let go of God and grab a hold to the world, to the fleshly, to the carnal things in life. We, if you find yourself at a disconnect with God, I promise you, I'm guilty of all charges. Many of you are as well. We will do things that we normally wouldn't do. Does that make sense? We will say things that we normally would have never said. We will participate in things that normally we would have never participated in. We will frequent places that normally, if we weren't at a disconnect from God, we'd never go to a place like that. Are you guys and girls getting the picture? So remember, when we are at a disconnect from God, we are then directing our own steps, aren't we, Brother Larry? And you remember what that great prophet Jeremiah said? It is not in man who walks to do what, Ashley? Direct his own steps. Very good. So we don't have that luxury in life. We don't have that. So let's take a look at what I'm talking about. How Cain himself was obviously at a disconnect from God. We're going to see that he rose up against his own brother Abel, and we know that he killed him. Everybody ready to read? Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived, bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was the keeper of the sheep. Cain was the tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the Lord, or fruit of the ground to the Lord. Verse 4, Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very what? His countenance also fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? Right here, it doesn't take long, brothers and sisters, to see that he was at a disconnect with God, wasn't he? How do you know that? He wasn't willing to do what God called him to do. If you're not doing what God's calling you to do, brothers and sisters, I promise you, according to the Bible, you too, and me too, would be at a disconnect from God. If you do well, watch verse 7. If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And this desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Watch verse 8. Now Cain talked with Abel, which is his brother, and it came to pass while they were in the field together. And watch this. You've got to remember, right here he was plotting to kill him, wasn't he? That, watch this. Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and what does the Bible say that he did? Killed him, didn't he? Murdered him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. You are at a disconnect, Cain, isn't he? You have disconnected from me, and because of that, you've now murdered your own flesh, your own brother. Watch this. Now, watch this. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened his mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. You did it. You're guilty. Watch this. Verse 12. When you till the ground, it'll no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Verse 14. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me, he's afraid they'll do what? He sure wasn't thinking about that when he just killed his brother, was he? Let's go a little further. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest anyone find him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the... Watch this with me. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Do you see that separation now? Do you see that separation now from Cain and from God? So now, because of the murder that he did of an innocent brother, because of jealousy, rage, and all these different things, he was in a disconnect from God because he'd been running away from God. Now he's charged with all these things, and look what's happening now. God had to put him away, didn't he? He's now separated from that. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't take long to see that Abel himself was at a disconnect. He was connected in one way. He was connected with the devil, wasn't he? He walked off from God. Who'd he join hands with? The devil himself. And once again, in a rage, a fit, and anger, all these different things, we know that he killed his own brother. Satan must have been rejoicing. He must have been very pleased with what he witnessed. And that's why I'm always bringing this passage of Scripture back up. 1 Peter chapter 5, down in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, he walks about like a roaring lion. What's he doing? Cain, the brother of Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, went against God's command. Went against God's command regarding the sacrifice. He went against God's law of murder as he took his own brother's life. So you see, away from the Lord, you and me too as well, if we are away from the Lord, it is extremely dangerous for our souls and other people as well. Does that make sense? So make sure that for whatever, for the love of God, for your love for Him, for whatever call, you make sure in your love and your desire of heaven, don't become disconnected from God. Don't let a human, don't let an object, don't you let anything separate you from God. And it warrants a question today. When we're looking at our own lives, are you running from the Lord today? It may not even be aware of your own manner of life. Are we, kind of like Cain, allowing things of the world to dictate us that will cause us to run away from the Father? If so, thank you, Jesus above, we get to get it fixed today. We're going to have an opportunity to do it right and to do what God is calling us to do. The second point is going to be found over in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. We know that Cain, the brother of Abel, was at a disconnect. Are we all in agreement? And we know because he was at a disconnect, it brought murder on for his brother, didn't it? Caused separation between him and God. The next round that I want to look at is this one, the rich young ruler. I know we look at it quite often at this particular passage. You know what? We're going to check it out again today because of its vast importance and how it shows what happens when you walk away or you run away from the Father. Listen, sometimes people may appear to be righteous. They may appear to be connected with God. They may appear to have their life in order, if I may. Have you seen people you think, man, he or she's really got their stuff together? You ever seen people like that? Just three of us. You ever seen people like that? And you begin to think, man, I just kind of wish that I could do that. I wish that I could be organized like that. I wish I could have my situation with God like they do. I wish I could have this or the other. Let me go back to the old adage. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors. Amen? You don't know what struggles they may be having or I'm having or you're having or they're having. And here's the reality of it. It is important that we let our light so shine before men that they see our good works glorifying our Father in heaven. Let me not minimize that. But let us be reminded that who we are to be pleasing is our Heavenly Father. My job as a Christian, as a servant of Christ, Jesus, I have a spiritual, soul-saving obligation to do what God is calling me to do. To do what Christ is calling me to do. John 14, 15, he says, Jerry, lad, if you love me, and you can put your name in that spot. If you love me, you'll do what I'm calling you to do. I think about the rich young ruler. Here's a guy who appeared to be connected with God. He appeared to have his stuff together, so to speak. And I have to think about the rich young ruler and how he appeared to be Jerry Jeter and I talked a while back about him. Just a pretty good guy. I like the way, Jerry, you described it. You said, Daddy, it seems to be just like a pretty good guy. One that really held to the commandments of the Lord. But we know when we read this that his heart that he had left Jesus. His heart was just not right with the Lord. He was clearly, are you ready for these next words, Amy? He was away from the Lord. And we're going to see what the results are with that. Go with me, Matthew 19, 16 through 22. Now behold, one came and said to him, Good teacher, we know, watch this. Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So he said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, what's the next word say? And he said to him, Which ones? Jesus said, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All of these things I have kept for how long? What do I still lack? He knew that there was something still lacking in his life. Jesus said to him, If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have. Watch this. Give it to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. And what was the next part of his instruction? Come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, congregation, read the rest of it with me. Go. He went away. Did you notice those words? He went away sorrowful. He was talking to who, Teresa? Jesus, wasn't he? The Lord gave him clear instructions, Nancy, on what he needed to do, but the Bible doesn't say that he yielded to that. The Scripture says he went away. Next word. Thank you, Ashley. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Here's a guy. Here's a fellow that you would think has his stuff together. Amen. Here's a guy, when you look at him, you're thinking, this is a pretty good guy right here. This guy's really got his stuff together. This is a fellow that you would want, if you have a daughter, you'd want your daughter to marry a guy like that. God-fearing man, one that keeps the commandments of the Lord until the last. Oh, he seemed top of the line, didn't he? He seemed like the good enough guy, but he had walked away from the Lord in a sorrowful state. I've tried and I've thought about that passage over and over and over. I just don't know how anyone could ever be in the presence of Jesus Christ and walk away sorrowful. Isn't that sad? But there's going to be a day called judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed once for man to die, but after this, the judgment. There's going to be people leaving the presence of God in a horrible state. You realize that? You're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Or you're going to hear, depart from me. I don't even know who you are. And then you're going to have people that want to argue with God, just like they do today. Lord, wait a minute. Wait, my hand's up, Lord. You got to give me a second. Have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not fed people in your name? Have we not visited jails in your name? Have we not done this? Have we not had Friday night singings in your name? Have we not done this, that, and the other? We helped at disaster relief in your name. You know, we've got people that think they can do a multitude of deeds and that's going to be all it takes. It doesn't matter how many alms you may do, you can't work your way into heaven. Amen? If our heart is not right with God, let's use good grammar, you ain't going to heaven. Amen? You've got to make sure we are not at a disconnect. How do we know whether we're in a disconnect or not? By the Bible. You don't go by what I say or what Darlene Cochran says. You leave us out of this. You go by what God says. Amen? Are we clear? All right. I got one back there dozing. Okay. Now, are we very clear about it? We've got to make sure that we are doing what God is calling us to do. This guy here, he wasn't doing what the Lord told him to do. Seemed like a good guy. Seemed like a fellow that you could pattern yourself after. But I guess the rich young ruler didn't know the passage of Scripture found in Matthew 6. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Go to 20. But lay up for yourselves treasure where? Where neither moths or rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your what? Thank you, Heather. There your heart will be also. Maybe this guy needed to be reminded. Margaret, I think you need to be reminded of Matthew 6:24, where the Bible says, No one can serve two masters. He's going to hate the one, love the other. He could be loyal to the one, despise the other. Jesus said to him, you cannot serve God and mammon. It ain't possible. So you have to make your choice today. Am I going to be connected with God, or am I at a disconnect? Am I running toward God and the righteousness of God, or am I running away from God? That is up to you, amen, on what you want to do. God has his arms opened up. Christ Jesus has his arms opened up because we are all prodigals. And we all need Jesus, and we all need his grace. We all need his forgiveness. We all need his love. We all need his mercy. And as I've mentioned before, your sins are not worse than mine, and mine's not any worse than yours. Sin is sin, isn't it? Paul said it clear in Romans 7:13 that sin might appear as it is exceedingly sinful. What we have to do is make sure that we are serving with Jesus Christ with all that we can, that we are connected with Jesus Christ and not at a disconnect, and follow him as closely as possible. Jesus knows, God knows that we are failing human beings, aren't we? We inherited that. Some people argue that. Don't ever say, you know, that we inherited it. Yes, we did. Because Adam and Eve did it. That's who our grandparents were. And it worked itself down through generations. We sin. We fall short. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. Romans 6:23, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, we need to understand something. Outward acts of religion, outward acts of loyalty, outward acts of obedience to the Lord equals nothing. So you can get caught up in that practice all you want, brothers and sisters, but it equals nothing if our heart's not right. It's vain. Are we together so far? Looking at our own life, I'm seriously telling you that. We all, every one of us, need to look deeply at ourselves and make certain that material things, the possessions that we have, the hobbies that we enjoy, be certain that nothing or no one comes before your love and obedience to your Heavenly Father. Let me remind us all of Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of these things. Are you running from God? Are you away from the Father? Have you ran the other way and didn't even realize it? If so, I want you to remember that there is danger in delay. Get back to the Lord as fast as you can. Don't walk to Him, run to Him. Amen? Luke 13:3 and also verse 5. I tell you, nay, but unless you repent, you will all... Very good, Ma. I saw Ma back there quoting Scripture. Good job. All right, give you the third and final point. We're going to let Amy get out of here after this. Amy, you see, I told you I'd get some first. It's going to take about an hour. All right, your third and final point is this. We'll talk about, matter of fact, Rob talked about this in his Bible class this morning. Talked about Jonah a little bit. But I want you to remember, as we get ready to close after this point, Jonah was one that ran from God. Does that make sense? God told him, said, I need you. No, he didn't say, I need you. He said, this is what you're going to do. I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to cry out against that wicked city. There's a lot of bad stuff going on. Hey, preacher, are you hearing me? And then, yeah, he said, okay, Lord, I'll go. But he didn't, did he? He went to Joppa. He went a whole different direction. And you know, kind of know the whole situation with that. He ended up on a boat. In the very bottom of the boat, there was a storm come. They threw a bunch of their luggage out. I'm paraphrasing, but they threw a bunch of stuff off the boat. Eventually, they ended up having to throw who out of the boat? They threw Jonah out of the boat. And then, where did Jonah land? In the water, but where in the water? I knew Esther was going to get me on that one. Ah, very good. I was going to try to bust it. Okay, belly of a great fish. I thought for sure she was going to say whale. But the belly of a great fish. Anybody tell me how many days he was there? How many nights was he there, Heather? All right, 3 days, 3 nights. Ooh, you think he smelled good? He probably didn't smell like Sauvage cologne. All right, so the reality is he was in the belly of that great fish for 3 days, 3 nights. Afterwards, he stunk. Amen? Afterwards, he was lonely. Afterwards, it got into his mind. Can you imagine how pitch black it was in there? Can you imagine the odor, the smell, the feeling, the sound of those muscles in that big fish's body? I would have been terrified. I heard my grandson burp yesterday, and it scared me to death. So I cannot even imagine what Jonah had went through. However, let's get with it. Jonah had ran away from God because he was running from his responsibilities. He was fleeing his responsibility. And we know that there was a huge price to pay for that, wasn't it? Because he ended up staying in the belly of that great fish. Thankfully, he repented of that. He prayed to God. God forgave him for it. What did the fish do with him? Threw him up. Larry's keeping it clean. Vomited him up on the shore, and there he was. Did he ever go to Nineveh? Yeah. Did he cry out against them? Yeah. Did they repent? Yeah. But did they stay firm? No, they didn't, did they? Not all of them. And so the reality is he was given another opportunity. You better think today, if we, any of us are like Jonah, God's given us another opportunity today. Yesterday, listen to me. Yesterday and this morning, we were in the belly of the great fish. But right now, we're not, are we? Given another opportunity as that he's won us back out, and we have an opportunity to make sure things are right now. We have a responsibility just like he did. He was told to go to Nineveh and cry out against it. You and I are told in Matthew 28:18-20 to do the exact same thing. We weren't told to go to Nineveh, but we were told to go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them. Teach them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And Lord, I'm with you always. Very good. That's Matthew 28:18-20. I love Mark 16:15-16. And he said to them all, go into all of the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but who does not believe, the Bible says, you will be what? You'll be condemned. So you have, and I have, a direct commandment to go and to teach and to preach what God tells us to do. You can witness it as you read Jonah chapter 1 and then Jonah chapter 2 verses 1 through 10 later today. When you witness it, you're going to witness once again where Jonah ran away from God. He went away from the Lord. He went away from his responsibilities because his heart, this is it, his heart was away from God, wasn't it? Because if our heart is with God and we've got Christ dwelling in us and us in Christ, we're not going to flee our responsibilities, are we? If we've got God in us and us in Christ, Jesus, us in God, we're not going to have to be begged and pleaded with to do what he's calling us to do. Does that make any sense? Everything we do for the Lord Jesus Christ, everything we do for God is going to be because God loves us and given us an opportunity. It shouldn't be a burden, should it? It should be an opportunity. It's a blessing. It's a privilege for you and me to serve Almighty God. For those of us that get tired, for those of us that get weary, for those of us it seems like the burdens of even the Christian life is heavy, there's no excuse anymore. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Jesus says, I will give you what? All right. And he tells us on in that passage of Scripture, for my burden's not heavy. You can take it. You can handle it. And I like what Jerry Stevens and I talked about the other night, Romans 12:1-2. This is your reasonable service. You remember, Jerry? Your reasonable service in Romans chapter 12. We can do what God's calling us to do. It's not that hard. Jonah suffered the consequences for leaving the Lord. Thankfully, Jonah repented. Thankfully, God forgave him. Let's be sure that we're not being a Jonah today. Let's be sure that we're not running away from the Father, but running and drawing near to the Lord. I love what the Scripture says in James 4:7. Therefore, and we'll do verse 8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Man, it seemed like he's got my name on that. I can find myself guilty. But once again, just like the Lord gave Jonah an opportunity, he's given me an opportunity. He's given you an opportunity today to be sure things are right. I hope and pray that today you are not running from God by the lifestyle that you're living, by the things that are being said, by the things that are being done, by your inner feelings toward your brothers and sisters in Christ, your inner feelings toward the church, etc. I hope and pray that if Jesus Christ were to return today to gather his glorious church, that you and I will be recognized as one of his children by the Lord himself. There are several folks in the Bible that we've just looked at that ran away from the Lord. And we can also witness that there are many, many people that remain faithful to the Lord. I don't want to discourage you and tell you that it's not possible. Abraham, was he a man of faith? He ran to the Lord and he hung with the Lord. I think about Noah. Noah, he made a mistake or two, but did Noah do what God instructed him to do, and that is building the ark? Yeah, he did. Congregation, did he? All right. And then Paul, after his conversion, I think about Moses and how loyal he was, and the list goes on and on and on. So what about you this very moment? How are you doing today in your walk with Jesus? Are you walking with Jesus? Are you running toward Jesus? Or have you walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ? Where are you in your walk? Let's be sure today that we are living for Jesus Christ. That the things that's coming out of our mouth, the places that we frequent, the things that we say, the things that we do, our actions and our reactions reflect Jesus Christ being in us. I have to think about Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So is that what's happening today? Are you living for Jesus Christ? Are you running toward Him or away from Him? Today, if you're a Christian, but you found you've been running away from Jesus Christ, you better get it right. Don't be a Jonah. Get it right. You just got thrown up out of the belly of the great fish this morning. You're on dry land. You can make sure that things are right and you walk with Him. So this morning, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't put Christ on in baptism, please do today. Here's God's Word. Hear God's Word. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Live a faithful life unto and into your death. Always remember that we are indeed. If you have a need, you need it all. Come now. It's together. It's been in this.